The book of Shmos, the second book of the Torah, opens describing the difficulties with the Jewish people. They're under the whip and the burden of the Egyptian taskmasters who are trying to painfully diminish their strength and their hopes and their dreams and their abilities, and they just crush them in every possible way to keep them down, to hold them back from populating, from gaining strength in the country, and in the economy and society that is the superpower of Egypt. After the Torah spends two chapters describing the difficult times that the Jewish people face, the Torah then tells us about how God comes to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moses, little Moshe, who's out on his own, and Hashem says, "Moshe, we need to talk. I need you to go help save the Jewish people." Moshe says, "I can't do that. No, I can't do that." And God asks him again, and then again, and then again, from all different angles and all different ways. And Moshe comes up with all these different ideas why he can't do it. "They're not going to listen to me. They, you know, how can we do it? You know, I can't speak altogether." All different excuses. And then, after 7 days, a very long conversation that's described in the Torah, after 7 days of back and forth and negotiating, God once again, you know, pushes Moshe, and Moshe comes out with what Chazal and Rashi tell us is the whole truth. Everything else up to it was just, you know, just a cover, an excuse. He says, "God, I can't do it because I have an older brother who's older than me. And not only is he older, for the past 40 years, Moshe was in Midian with his sheep in the meadows, relaxing. Because he had been forced to run away from Pharaoh and his executioners who wanted to kill him. And for 40 years, and the Ramban says 60 years, Moshe was on his own. And he says, who do you think has been taking care of the Jews all these years, all these decades? It's my brother Aaron, who's been through blood and sweat and tears, who's been the address where the Jewish people come to cry on his shoulder, and he's the one who's been supporting them and spending night and day encouraging and cajoling and pleading to the Jewish people not to give up hope and suffering with tremendous amount of emotional agony and unrest. Now you're asking me to just slide into the just show right back up in Egypt. It's like just ride in on my horse and like be the savior and the hero of the Jewish people. How am I supposed to do that? It's cruel to my brother Aaron, who's older than me, deserves more respect, and has been shouldering the burden of Jewish leadership for all the darkness and the dark times. And now I'm supposed to show up for the end, just to the beautiful, closing. I can't do it. Aaron's going to be hurt." Now we know that nobody can ever tell what another person is thinking. Nobody, except for one being, and that is God. The Torah describes God's testimony about Aaron, and Hashem's response in this pasuk is marvelous. He says, "Moshe, I understand you, but I'm telling you, don't worry. Aaron is actually going to be not only not insulted, not only not hurt, not only not offended, but joyful, joyful, so overjoyed with your success, your leapfrogging way past him, and taking all the and you getting all the honor. He's just gonna be it's gonna be fine with him." And Talmud tells us Aaron had a heart of gold, and therefore that's the reason why God appointed him years, the years that followed, as the high priest, to wear a crown upon his heart, a crown upon his heart called the Choshen, a golden crown, because he had a heart of gold, and that golden crown was celebrating his incredible heart of gold. Now listen carefully. Ari Levinson suggested something brilliant. Look back at the beginning of the exile. How did it happen? How did it happen, the beginning of this exile? We know. We know all too well. There's a family, a Jewish family, that falls to, unfortunately, emotional and painful altercation, arguments, distrust, accusations, jealousy, and hatred, and even violence. We're talking about a very religious family. The family of Yaakov Avinu. Tragically, because Yaakov favors Yosef, his brothers are jealous. They can't get along. They end up want to kill each other, or at least they want to kill Yosef. And we just got finished reading the terribly painful story. And indeed, everything unravels. All of Jewish history unravels. Yaakov is in mourning. God runs away, not wanting to be involved in machlokas, and be around the Jews who argue. And in the end, this leads Joseph, of course, to Egypt, and then ultimately the Jewish people, his brothers to Egypt, and ultimately the Jewish people to Egypt. This whole story of exile and the Egyptian experience was caused by hatred in a family, and rivalry, and fighting within a family. Many years pass, and now we're introduced to a new family, the family of the Rabbeinu family, Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron and Miriam. And Moshe is so exquisitely sensitive, so incredibly empathic and concerned and worried about his brother. And yet, Aaron does just the same. He's so in touch and so sensitive and feels so powerfully for his brother, and is so loving and so so delicate with his brother's feelings. And what does this lead to? This leads to them the very next scene, right? Then being sent together as a team by God to Pharaoh to take the Jewish people out of exile. And this simple insight is so powerful, because indeed nothing has changed. The Talmud tells us the Jewish people are in exile today only for one single sole reason. That's it. One reason. That is, there's fighting within our Jewish families and within our Jewish communities. And it's so beautiful how the Torah demonstrates to us that that's how the Jewish people went into exile. But indeed, the inverse of that is what redeems us. That's how we came back Jewish brothers were so, had so much ava and achva for each other. And that indeed is the way we will get out of exile, and we will leave today's diaspora, today's Egypt, and be brought back to the promised land for the promised life. Shabbat Shalom.